and welcome to the Millennial Health Podcast. I'm Dr. Jayshree Allen, a board-certified family physician who's passionate about the health of my fellow millennials. I know we're booked and busy, but your first wealth is your health. So I'm taking some of my most important health messages and bringing them here to you on this podcast. My goal is to share some valuable information and draw awareness to some important health topics, but I encourage you to please consult your physician for personalized medical advice. And we are back with season two of the Millennial Health Podcast. I almost can't believe it. I feel 2020 was such a blur. The first 3 months of 2021 joined that blur, but we're certainly going to make the best of the remainder of this year. I'm starting to feel really hopeful. I hope you guys are too. You know, I think it's always important to acknowledge what we've been through, right? Not to sugarcoat things too much, but also not to wallow in our own situations for too long, right? Because we've got to get up, we've got to keep going. And if there's anything I've learned through this season, it's that the living need to keep living. You know, you guys know from last season that it was quite a challenging year. Unfortunately, that carried over into this year with my family. We really hadn't had any close deaths, you know, in years, actually. And then 2020 hit, and I don't know what happened, but we just started losing people left, right, and center. You know, my grandmother lost a sister, then she died, then another sister died after that. So these are my grand aunts and grandma who lived with us. I told you guys about her last season. Then my aunt, who is my father's twin sister, my godfather, who's my father's best friend. And then I thought we were getting better. I thought things were slowing down and the tide was turning. But then now my grandfather. So it's been such a rough year, to be honest. And, you know, not just with the deaths, but thinking of I'm going to work every day in healthcare. It's certainly been a challenging time to have any job. I think absolutely any job, but most certainly a challenging time to be in healthcare in the midst of this pandemic. And then we've still, you know, have a regular life to live. Like we still have things that we're trying to accomplish, goals that you're trying to attain, you know, growth that doesn't stop, right? Just because of the current state of the world. And I think one of the things that I had to stop and acknowledge for myself was the compound effect of what we've been experiencing. It wasn't just one death or a pandemic for 1 month or some changes to our lives for a few weeks. You know, now we are 1 year plus into this pandemic. But I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, are you getting the COVID-19 vaccine? You guys know I received mine. I got the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine back in December of 2020, and then my second dose in January of 2021. And I'll tell you a little about my personal experience and how I kind of navigated that, as well as share some information. I have quite a few questions that people always ask, and so we'll talk a little about that. But before we jump right in, there's a quote that a colleague actually used recently that resonated with me quite profoundly that I wanted to share. You know, if you check out my Twitter or Instagram pages, I haven't really posted all year. So this is April of 2021. Took a little hiatus, not just from social media, but literally created a list of all the projects and activities that I was involved in. And I really had to go down the list and check, like, yes, I still have the bandwidth for this. Nope, I can't manage this right now. Yes, I can do this, but no longer in that capacity. I had to do one of those sorts of things. And so it's exciting now that I feel refreshed, rejuvenated, and in a place where I can be honest about where I am in this state of life, the energy that I have to bring to whether it's my podcast or my job or a speaking engagement. It's genuine because that's truly how I feel at the time, you know? So the quote I want to share with you is, there is no profit in caring for the body if in the process we destroy the soul. Whew. I'll say that one again. So there is no profit in caring for the body if in the process we destroy the soul. I felt, you know, I was really trying to find all these ways to care for the body. It's like, oh, you've got to get sleep on time. You've got to eat well. I even bought a Peloton. I'm team today. And, you know, I was doing all of these things. But really where a lot of my issues were coming from was the fact that I was exhausted. I was mentally exhausted. Like the exhaustion that sleep doesn't fix, you know? And so I think this was a nice little break. So I'm super excited for us to get back on this journey together, millennial health. You guys give me so much life, and I hope I'm sharing really good information that's helping you to make better decisions about your health while we're still in a position to do something about it. That's always my goal. We are not destined to be burdened with chronic disease. We can actually make changes now that will pay off later on in our lives. So I told you I was really excited that I feel there is some light at the end of this pandemic tunnel, even though there is talk of wave number 4 coming our way. But I really feel the vaccines have made such an important difference. So if you haven't yet, please check out my last episode of the 2020 season, where I had a wonderful conversation with a phenomenal pharmacist about the COVID-19 vaccine. And we answered some of those basic questions we had at the time. We're now at the place where most of the population, at least in the United States, is eligible for this vaccine. And the question is, will you take this COVID-19 vaccine? I'm in the state of Minnesota, and as of last week, Monday, everyone over the age of 16 is eligible to be vaccinated. So it's kind of thinking like, where do we go from here? You know, how will that change things? I know you guys have heard lots of conversations about herd immunity and, you know, us getting to herd immunity so we can slow down the spread, get back to our regular everyday lives, even though I think we probably want to redefine what our regular everyday lives are going to look like after this. I don't think we necessarily need to go back to the way things were in the past. I think there have been some good changes that will come out of this pandemic. But certainly, we want to get to a place where we can enjoy our friendships and our family members a little more. We can give hugs and receive hugs and a kiss on the cheek if that's appropriate for who you're talking to, right? You know, so I think we want to get back to some of those things that really strengthen our human connection. So a couple things I want to talk to you guys about today and kind of set the record straight because I get so many questions on these. So this concept of herd immunity, right? So it's kind of referring to the protection from a disease that occurs when like a sufficient portion of the population can no longer acquire the disease or transmit the infection. So this can happen either through a vaccination or immunity resulting from a previous infection. I think those of us who love people and want to see our loved ones remain here on this side of Earth with us are not in favor of us all gaining herd immunity through immunity from an infection. So the vaccine is our option. You would lose too many lives to gain herd immunity that way. And I also get questions about like, what is that number? You know, I've heard different numbers floating around for sure, but it's in that 70 to 90-ish percent that I've seen most to kind of get that threshold going for us there. And we can do this with vaccines. I think the last time I watched the news, I think just yesterday, we gave over 4 million vaccines in one day. I mean, we've got this, y'all. We've got this. We can totally, totally do this. All right. So the question, though, that comes up with that, all right, we're starting to roll out the vaccines a little bit more. But what about these variants and how are they impacting all of this? So first, let's define what we're even talking about, right? So in order to infect someone, a virus has to take over what we call the host cell, right? And use that to replicate itself. But nature and these viruses aren't perfect, right? So sometimes mistakes are made. And mistakes during this process of replication are called mutations. So when you have a virus that has one or more of these mutations, it's referred to as a variant. And honestly, you know, most of the times these variants don't really impact much. You know, it doesn't affect a virus's physical structure or, you know, and sometimes it just disappears. But there are certain cases when that is not what happens. And that mutation can impact a part of the virus's genetic makeup and that changes its behavior. So then the big question is, why do you care about the virus's behavior? Because then that can change the rate of transmission, that can change the deadliness, even the ability to potentially infect someone with immunity, whether natural or vaccine induced. And of course, the big variants that we're all talking about now in the news, the P1 variant discovered in Brazil. And I want to be clear. So when the country's names are attached to these variants, it's not that it's exclusive to that place. It's just where it was first identified. But I have feelings on that because I feel we really shouldn't stigmatize whole countries or people over this. But just so you understand like where it comes from. So that variant is found now in many other places. Especially if we're doing the genetic sequencing to actually pick it up, you know, but that's just where it was initially found. So that's a big one. Of course, everyone's also talking about B1351. So that's the South African variant that we've been quite concerned about. And then B117, and that was the variant first discovered in the United Kingdom. So there actually are quite a few studies taking place now to see if the vaccines that we currently have available are protecting us from some of these new variants. There's even a trial that's going on now with like a modified version of the vaccine. So I know of someone who's gotten a third shot of one of the COVID-19 vaccines now, and that's testing for whether or not that will confer protection from variants. So I think we're still learning, we're still growing, we're still trying to figure out how we're going to make this work as this virus continues to change on us. That's huge. But, you know, one of the really big things that we also have to keep in mind, some of these mutations seem to affect the virus's spike protein. And I'm sure you guys have heard on to no end about the spike protein, right? And, or at the very least, you've seen this picture. It's like gray with the little red crowns kind of sticking up off of it. I think that's become the COVID-19 picture that's been used a lot in the media. So we've seen that quite a bit, you know. So the mutations are starting to affect that. And that, you know, alters the outer coating of the virus. And these proteins, the spike protein, helps the virus to attach to human cells, right? Whether in the lungs or the nose or other areas of the body. So that's quite consequential. So I'm really excited. The science behind some of this stuff is really, really, really fascinating, to be honest. But then we get into like, all right, so how do these vaccines work? I was recently with some family members who are not in healthcare. And it was very interesting to hear their questions and their concerns that they had about the vaccines, right? So the first thing to understand, there are many different vaccines on the market at this point in time. I'm in the U.S., recording in the U.S., so I'll talk about the ones that are in the United States because I just have more knowledge about those. But my immediate family is in Jamaica, and they have the AstraZeneca vaccine there, so I'll definitely touch on that one too. So, of course, we've heard a ton about the mRNA vaccine, so Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna. So the mRNA vaccines, essentially, just a nutshell, this is like narrowing it down to like the most basic way I can describe it. This is in no way, shape, or form a comprehensive description of this at all. But essentially, the mRNA vaccines teach our cells how to make this spike protein that I just told you guys about that then triggers this immune response in your body. All right. So essentially think of it this way. This is how I described it to one of my family members recently. So your body will then get exposure to this particular portion of the virus that's quite recognizable, this spike protein. So imagine if we put out an alert that, I don't know, we have Amber Alert here. You could get different types of alerts. We're looking out for, I don't know, a particular intruder or a thief or something locally, right? And we say that he is driving or she is driving a white Chevy, I don't know, Cruise or so. So you'll be on the lookout for that. Like you're prepared to attack that. You're prepared to fight that off. You know what it looks like. You're getting ready. So if it shows up, you're not taken totally aback or by surprise because you're aware of the fact that there is an alert out for this particular vehicle. It looks this way, sounds this way. The person driving it looks this way, right? You're kind of on the lookout for it. So you're not taken by surprise when this all comes your way. So that's how I describe vaccines initially. Your body takes a little while to generate that immune response. So if the very first time that your body is getting exposure to this virus is when you are actually infected with the real deal, right? We hope our bodies respond well and quickly enough, right? So you can truly fight this virus. But unfortunately, it can go the other way, right? Which is the case at this point in time with the deaths that we've seen with a lot of our loved ones, unfortunately, who we've lost to this virus. So that's the mRNA vaccines. But the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is out now, and that is one shot. So it is rapidly gaining popularity, as well as the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is the only vaccine currently available in my home country of Jamaica, but certainly undergoing a significant amount of scrutiny because of the cases of PEs that have been identified. So that's still under investigation. But those vaccines are viral vector vaccines. And so they use a modified version of a different or harmless virus to deliver important instructions to our cells to start building protection. So those instructions are delivered in the form of genetic material to tell the cell to produce this spike protein. We keep coming back to this spike protein when we talk about COVID-19, which again then triggers our immune response to recognize this virus and begin producing these antibodies and activating other immune cells to fight off, you know, what it thinks is an infection. So super, super, super important to understand how these vaccines work. I think when I first read about this and then I spoke to some other people about it, one of the big questions that came up, so it's like, you're using a different version of another virus? And the answer is yes, but it's actually harmless, you know? And so this is the way I always try to find these ways to break things down into like super, super, super simple forms. Again, not a comprehensive view, but just to get the point and get the picture. So I think of this like I think of my cell phone. I am able to do a lot of different things with my cell phone. I can make phone calls with my cell phone. I can make video calls with my cell phone. I can do a lot of banking on my cell phone. I can deposit a check on my cell phone. I can take photos with the camera on my phone, store them. I can design like really cute graphics on certain apps on my phone. I can do all those things on my phone and some, right? But if you ask me to borrow my phone to use it for a particular purpose, and maybe I don't want you to have access to a certain thing that my phone can do, I can actually like turn that function off. So whether it's I delete my banking app so you can't see it and get into my banking information, or I put a code on my photo so you will need to be able to enter the code to get beyond that particular app to see my pictures, or I block a number so you can't call a particular person, or so I can manipulate the phone or change the features and functions of the phone to do what I want it to do. Or if I'm going to lend it to you and I only want you to have access to certain things, I can restrict that. I think scientists work hard to be able to do a similar sort of thing, right, with the materials that they work with. So please don't be super alarmed in hearing, oh, this is a modified version of a different virus. Yes, but I trust the science and the scientists who are able to get this vaccine to do what we need it to do. All right. So super important to acknowledge that. I hope that helps. That's kind of the way I've been really thinking about it. And then, of course, you've got to prepare for some of the common reactions from this vaccine. And it's a sign that your immune system is working, okay? So things like injection site redness or soreness at the site, a mild fever, muscle aches, tiredness, like mild headaches, and it ranges. I mean, some people, the symptoms are re have they have none. Some people, the symptoms are really mild, and others are bedbound for a day, So the symptoms really do vary. So it's just important that I think we're honest about the entire process. With my first shot of the vaccine, my arm was numb. I could not lift my arm for like a solid 36 hours. I was on the verge of becoming concerned. But then it just went away. It went away after that. And I had a lot of other friends who expressed the same thing. Then after my second shot, I started to get a fever. And so I took some Tylenol. And after that, I felt totally fine. So it's just important, I think, to be honest about what to expect, as well as to be honest and acknowledge that we don't know it all, right? Like, we know that these COVID-19 vaccines are effective at preventing severe illness and death. And the numbers vary, from 72% up to 95%, depending on what particular vaccine we're talking about, one shot versus two, that sort of thing. But ultimately, to have gained not approval, but emergency use authorization, two different things, to be used, right? It's been proven to prevent severe illness and death. We're still learning a lot about how they work against the variants, so that's important to acknowledge. And then things like we're still learning how effective it is from allowing you to pass on the virus to someone else. Because if you do get it and you're not particularly symptomatic because your immune system's working and doing what it's supposed to do after you've gotten your vaccine, can you still transmit it to others? And then exactly how long does the vaccine protect you? Pfizer just put out some data saying that it is up to 6 months. So it doesn't mean it stops at 6 months, but when they applied for emergency use authorization, it was with 2 months worth of data. Now they have 6 months worth of data and know that it is still effective and in the 90s and above in terms of percent. So I think that's super important to acknowledge. I think one of the issues that we sometimes have in science. And one of the reasons why I love to do this, have this podcast, have an honest and open discussion with you, is to acknowledge that we don't know it all. And there's still some questions that we're asking and still some answers that we are really seeking, you know? And then that's the science. Of course, there's something to the science, but there's also the human kind of element to this as well. You know, I told you guys earlier, I really was struggling just with the weight of what it meant to be a physician working in this pandemic right now. And not even just for the burden of patients with the virus or patients who are dying, but just the uncertainty, the ever-changing policies, the adjustments, the mental exhaustion, the fatigue, it really becomes a lot. You know, at some point you have to start thinking about what restores your soul, right? What brings you joy? What is able to get you back to a place of being whole? And I think there was another physician on Twitter who wrote really well about their experience or the process of coming to the decision of going to see one of their parents, even in the midst of this pandemic. And I went through a similar debacle. You know, I told you guys before, my father lost his twin sister last year in 2020. And just so many other people in the family and around us were dying. And I don't know, I had to stop and just ask myself, like, at what point, you know, I'm vaccinated, fully vaccinated at this point in time. And I've cared, you know, for the past year for patients with COVID, both on the inpatient setting and in the clinic, and now seeing some of the long haulers. You know, so I've taken care of people with COVID. I myself am protected. And so far it's working. Fingers crossed. Keep your fingers crossed, guys. But, you know, I wanted to know, when will I get to see my parents again? And for me, I was particularly worried about my dad. I was really worried about my father. And just, when will I get to go home and visit, you know, my home again and say hi? Like, is my next trip going to be for another funeral, you know, for losing someone else that I didn't get a chance to say goodbye, you know? And obviously I can't see the whole family. I can't, you know, have that kind of, relationship at this point in time, just for safety purposes with the whole family. But at the very least, I felt my dad. It's a year plus, and I had to make a decision for myself based on the state of our family and things we were going through, you know? And I feel a lot of us are at a crossroads like that, where it's like, you know, are things getting better? They look like they are. We say that they are, but there are also some things that aren't going so well. So where are we in this whole process? Like, can I give my loved ones a hug? Can I get on a plane? Can I travel? You know, thankfully the CDC has put out some new guidelines. So hopefully that can help you in making the decision. But they put them out a week after my trip. So I really just had to sit with, you know, the pros and the cons and how I could stay safe. Obviously, wearing an N95 mask and, you know, like, make sure I'm sanitizing and really keeping my distance. And, you know, I sent a lot of messages to say, like, hey, I'm here. So excited to let you know. And news I had to share, but I won't be able to see you this trip. Because what was worth it to me and what, in my eyes, couldn't wait at this point was to give my father a hug. I didn't get to do that with many other family members, and it's just not a compromise. I think 1+ year into the pandemic, being fully vaccinated, and at this rate, you know, doing the very best that we possibly could, all things considered, it was, for me, something that needed to happen. And thankfully, you know, the travel restrictions now, you need a test within 72 hours to leave, at least to travel to where I was going. And then you need a test within 3 days to be able to return to the United States. Both were negative. So I felt very comfortable with that. Also felt very comfortable knowing that I was on an international flight and everyone else on that flight was subject to those same restrictions and also had to have a negative test within 72 hours. Again, of course, you can get COVID from the time you've passed, from the time you took the test, or even had it a couple days, you know, before, and you're just, your test hasn't turned positive yet. But there was a little bit of security there, a little, just a little. So I don't know. I see some light, guys. I see some light. So in closing, you know, should you take the COVID-19 vaccine now that the eligibility requirements are opening up drastically and you are more than likely going to be able to take this vaccine within the next month or so? For me, my answer was yes. And as a physician working in the primary care setting, which is typically the first stop if you're sick or you have a concern or an issue outside of something acute where you'd go to the ER, you know, from what I've seen, I would encourage you as well to really consider it, to have a conversation with your doctor if you are genuinely concerned about particular health conditions that you're struggling with or you suffer from, or concerns that you've had with other vaccines and how this one might be an issue. I think it's worth a conversation with your doctor or another health professional or someone that you know. One of the amazing things about this, I think so many of us in the healthcare space have made ourselves available through, you know, family and friends and social media, different forums, speaking at conferences for free. I mean, galore taking place right now to talk about our experience and to talk about, you know, what your experience could potentially be like. So I would suggest that you at least give it a second thought and have a solid evidence-based conversation with someone who is knowledgeable in the health sciences and see if it's what's best for you. The answer for me was yes. So I'm really excited to see what you guys ultimately decide to do. All right, that's it for our season opener. Catch us in 2 weeks where we are talking to a special guest on the importance of prioritizing your primary health care. So many things have fallen by the wayside in this pandemic mode that we've all been in. But I promise you, the rest of this year, we're going to pull it back together. And one of those things are definitely getting our primary health care back in order. So we're going to talk about all those things that, you know, we didn't really do last year, but we are getting them done in 2021, right? Checking your cholesterol, getting that pap smear, that mammogram. We're talking about all of that, all right? See you in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Millennial Health Podcast. Though my goal is to share some valuable information and draw awareness to some important health issues, I encourage you to please consult your physician for personalized medical advice. I hope this information was beneficial to you. And if so, please subscribe to the Millennial Health Podcast and share with your friends. Please also leave us a review. If you have questions or comments, feel free to reach out on Instagram or Twitter at Dr. Jayshere, DrJayShere.